When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, welcome to the show, folks. Sunday Funday. Let's get into it. We have the big matchup today. The Chiefs hosting the Dallas Cowboys. That's the game everyone's going to be talking about, so we'll get to that a bit later on. But first, let's get through the rest of these 1 o'clock games and thoughts on how to approach it betting-wise, DFS, and we'll move right along. First off, big news of the day that we're still waiting on, Lamar Jackson. Nobody knows what the status is. 50-50 that he plays. If he doesn't play, Trace McSorley is the backup for the Ravens. Obviously, huge downgrade to the Ravens offense if Lamar doesn't play. Let's just be honest with ourselves here. From a DFS standpoint, I'm on Lamar, so I'm very much interested in how this news lands, because that means I'll have to play even more of Mahomes or Dak Prescott, or maybe I shift to some prepare myself with some Joe Burrow plays or Josh Allen. But, you know, I'm keeping a very small pool of quarterbacks this week, just because I don't see that many guys with the upside. It's like, outside of the names I just mentioned, I don't really see anyone else being in that same stratosphere. So I'm not going to get too cute with it in terms of these builds. So if Lamar doesn't play, I'm pretty much going to be taking the Ravens off the board. And I was interested in Rashad Bateman at 4,500. Definitely interested in Mark Andrews at 6K, because it's a pivot off of what is going to be a lot of Travis Kelce being played. And yes, you could also play Dalton Schultz if you're playing Dak Prescott in that later window. Obviously, I'm jumping ahead, but, you know, Andrews was going to be the pivot off of some of those more popular plays today. And, you know, if Lamar doesn't play, it just becomes a huge deal. Now, obviously, this line moved as well. It was 6.5. Now we're down to 5. And, you know, to me, it's just, you can't bet it right now without knowing Lamar's status, because realistically, Lamar not being in that Ravens offense, because it is so geared towards Lamar and it's such a specific skill set, that honestly, that is in of itself probably, especially being on the road, that's the equivalent of a 4 points for winning, in my opinion. So to me, it's not as though I want to bet on Justin Fields and the Bears offense, because the Bears are just brutal. No Allen Robinson today. I think it's easier to shut down Darryl Mooney. I don't see a whole lot of action from the Bears offense. So to me, this, if we don't have Lamar, we could find ourselves in the position where I'm playing Bears defense and maybe I'm playing David Montgomery, because I'm expecting a lot of punts, and Montgomery's just going to get the volume anyway, just to get different at the running back spot. But I'm not on Montgomery right now, so, you know, I may not even go there, but that's just something to kind of think about on what you have to expect with these situations when you're pivoting. So to me, I'm not gonna go too crazy on if we don't get the Lamar news that we want. I really feel nervous about this Ravens game the more I keep talking about it. I still think he plays. It's just a little bit disconcerting that we've gotten up to this point and they're still saying it's 50-50 because it's not COVID related. It just seems like there's a massive flu outbreak on the Ravens. So it's not just Lamar. It's the fact that there could be other dudes on this squad that are feeling under the weather and not getting talked about. And then the Ravens just struggle to play with the Bears, even though the Bears defense has been pretty shoddy with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks being in and out of the lineup constantly. So I'm not gung-ho on the Bears, but I'm getting significantly less enamored with the Ravens. So this seems to be a spot where maybe cooler heads will prevail. I'm not going to push folks into this game, given the current status, though. So, you know, if there's not, and we should get word 90 minutes before lock anyway, but, you know, since I'm recording this early morning, as it stands, if Lamar's not playing, just don't get too crazy with it. That's just what I would suggest at this point. Moving on. We got Cleveland hosting Detroit. Detroit, no Jared Goff. This is one of the few things that I would say would be an upgrade, except the replacement is Tim Boyle or Jim Boyle or whatever Boyle you want to say his name is. It's not even worth mentioning what his actual name is. I think I got it right the first time around with Tim Boyle, but no one cares. Somehow, Detroit actually has a worse backup than pretty much every other team in the league. I don't understand how an organization could be this poorly run. But you've got a Browns team desperately needing a win. 9.5-point favorites. The line went up to 13 during the week with the golf news. I think if you didn't get it early, you're stuck, because I don't necessarily like going too far into these large line games, even though they're at home, because the Browns have been struggling enough as is that you shouldn't be putting that much stock into having confidence with them. What I will say is you could probably throw this one into some teasers if you want, and just bet it down a little bit further in terms of covering the line. But to me, this is a Nick Chubb game and Browns defense, and that's about it. I don't want to play Browns passing game because they should be up. I don't see how Detroit keeps this one close. I know some folks will want to play DeAndre Swift in DFS. Obviously, regular fantasy, you would play him. Even in the comeback script, I just don't like anything else from this game. To me, this is just one of those games where you just kind of move on. Don't get too cute. So we're going to do that. If you didn't hit the line early for Cleveland, tease it. But, you know, I'm not taking it at a two touchdown clip. It's just, they're not playing well enough to justify that. Even as bad as the Lions are. Next up, Green Bay traveling to Minnesota. Packers 2.5-point favorites, mainly because Aaron Rodgers, in addition to owning the Bears, he owns the Vikings too. Listen, the Packers have been doing a number on the Vikings for many years now with Rodgers under center. I know that there's no Aaron Jones, but honestly, I think the Packers offensive line, A.J. Dillon, solid enough. It's not that big of a loss, in my opinion, to be perfectly honest. So, yes, the line did shift as the week has gone along. So, it's now Packers minus one. When it started at 2.5 for picks pools, taking Packers. For regular picks, taking the Packers. I just think the Packers win this game. Realistically, this would need to be a massive game from Kirk Cousins for the Vikings to win. Because while Dalvin Cook should put up numbers today against the Packers' run defense, he's usually had pretty good performances, the Vikings still need Kirk Cousins to put up a 300-yard game against this Packers' offense, in my opinion. Because the Packers should be able to score on this Vikings' defense. I look at this as a game where the Vikings need to be put up numbers. It's just the bottom line is that it's more of an indictment that you know the Vikings still are, you know, kind of in this weird place where they're a good team, but they don't really seem to have anything else to take the next step. And realistically, it's got to be a better play from Cousins. I mean, it's just that simple. I just don't really see that much coming out of this that we're gonna get a lot more out of the Vikings offense. So to me, I'm not as crazy about this one because you kind of need pricing wise for DFS standpoint. You've got both Davante Adams and Justin Jefferson priced way up. So Davante Adams is 8,400. Justin Jefferson's 8,100. I mean, knowing what we know, that they're priced at or higher than the players in the Dallas KC game, it's harder to get behind paying up for Davante Adams and Justin Jefferson this week. Not saying that I'm not doing it, because I still have a build with those two in there going up against each other. I would almost rather pay down slightly to get Adam Thielen around 70K. And then play some AJ. But it's, to me, I just don't see the ceiling out of these guys that I see in other spots. So it's a harder game for me to get that excited about. I think they play each other relatively decent, tough. I don't see complete shootout. To me, this feels like a 30-27 game. And yes, I know that sounds like, oh, it's a 57 total, Dwayne. You're saying it's going to shoot it. Yes, there are spots, but it's like I don't see a massive concentration of offense on certain guys. I think it kind of gets spread out a bit more in that fashion. So to me, like, I don't necessarily see Aaron Rodgers peppering Davante Adams completely in the offense. I think it gets spread out a bit more. On the Vikings side, I could see, you know, even someone like a Tyler Conklin, who's been priced up in recent weeks at 3,900 at tight end, I could see Conklin getting in the mix offensively. I don't necessarily see a lock on everyone getting concentration in terms of the offensive workflow. So to me, betting wise, I know that with the line here, we were looking at essentially a 47 spread. Like, I like the over. I'll say that. It's like, I like the over because it was only at 47. I think this game scores in the 50s. I'm just not as sold on this being the game to go to, because the pricing wise from DFS standpoint, it's, you're not getting that much of a savings off of the KC Dallas game. That, like, that's just me being perfectly honest. You are you are kind of paying up in certain spots. So I have some interest, but I'm not going to go too crazy over it. Next up, Houston going to Tennessee. Man, this one's rough. Tennessee favored by 10. I mean, low total, only 44. I mean, what are we really getting out of this? You know, it's just a bad Houston team. A Titans team that is, yes, no Derrick Henry, but they're still demonstrably better than Houston. Donta Foreman is the only wild card in this mix because Jeremy McNichols is out for the Titans. Donta Foreman's only 4,900. Should get some decent workload. Adrian Peterson's still around, but, you know, hasn't really shown us that much. I'm not going to go fully committed on the Donta Foreman trade. Yes, it's technically what we would call a revenge game against his former team that drafted him in the Texans, but, you know, I think the Texans' issues would stem more from them sucking than Donta Foreman being good. But I do think Foreman makes a ton of sense for DFS if you're playing the Dallas KC game because it saves you enough money so that you can start stuffing in a few more pieces and get some of the studs in that game as well. So not going to go too crazy looking at other guys in this one. I actually do like Marcus Johnson on the Titans for 3,500. Again, a salary piece. It has been getting more targets in recent weeks, so it makes sense. I'm not as sold on paying up for A.J. Dillon at 7,700 on DraftKings. I believe he was coming in right around 7,200 on FanDuel. I would rather, like, and this was one of those things where you kind of have to look at sometimes with the price difference between the websites. I love A.J. Brown on FanDuel because technically everyone is about the same price or higher at the skill position at wide receiver when you compare their DK price to FanDuel, except for A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown got priced down on FanDuel as opposed to DK. I like A.J. Brown because when you're having to pay a significantly higher price tag on FanDuel for some of the skill position players, Brown comes in at a decent discount. But outside of that, yeah, not too much to speak of. On the Houston side, I'm really tired of chasing Brandon Cook, so I'm not going to. I don't think you necessarily need the run back, to be honest, in this one, just because the Texans don't really do enough on their own to warrant it. Next up, Indy going to Buffalo. Weather's good up here in the Northeast, so Carson Wentz has an opportunity to put up numbers here. Bills favored by 7, 49 total. I think we get another potential shootout here, and you got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. No one's really talking about it, but the Colts secondary is not very good. I kind of like this spot, and to be honest, the more I look at it, and the less I'm getting any kind of feedback on Lamar Jackson, I think the pivot to me is just play more Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, to be perfectly blunt. Then on the Indy side, you've got Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman. Yeah, play Pittman, Nyheim Hines. I have a bunch of other running back plays, but Hines is certainly in the mix for DFS if you want. And for regular fantasy, I like Hines because I expect the Colts to be behind, and the Colts are going to dump the ball off to Hines. So while, yes, you're obviously going to play Jonathan Taylor in regular fantasy, I'm not saying no. I do think Nyheim Hines makes sense as a flex play in that regard. So, you know, I expect points in this game. I'll be perfectly blunt. I will have dollar exposure to Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs as well, just because it will get me slightly different. And if I'm not playing Allen and Diggs. I'll have some Diggs exposure as well. The bottom line is that it becomes all right. So I think that pretty much covers it. Another game that we can cross off: Jets hosting Miami. I don't know what people are doing. I know the Jets defense is terrible, but I don't understand this whole Tua Tagovailoa situation where everyone's trying to jam in Tua like as a pivot. The Dolphins offense has not warranted anything to give that level of consideration to, given the other games on this slate. I'm point blank. I don't get this. I don't get it. Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites. This line is 44 points. I don't understand how people think this game's hitting the 50s. I don't. I know the Jets' defense has been bad, but Miami's offense is nothing to even pass muster. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Tua, he's been better, but it's still not, like, yes, they got the win over the Ravens. Shocking basically everyone, including me, which was very hurtful in terms of the wallet, in terms of bills. But that was mostly the Dolphins' defense, not their offense. And Tua came pinch hitting because Brissett got hurt. I don't see it. Yeah, you can play Waller 5,600, but man, there's nothing here. I'm sorry. I tried making this game work. Projections wise, I tried to make sense of it. I don't understand how people ended up on this game. Cross this game off your list. I'm just saying it. I am. I hope you do too. Don't bet it. Don't, because the Jets can win this game. I would not be shocked that the Dolphins come off of that big win against the Ravens and lay an egg here in New York. Would not shock me in the slightest. I'm sorry. I'm just saying it right now. And if they lose this game, this pretty much confirms everyone's deep suspicions that Tua may not be the guy for Miami long term. We'll see. But I don't like this game at all. Next up, another game I hated. Philly hosting the Saints. Philly, I mean, they're favored by 3, and they should be because Trevor Siemian got the nod again for the Saints. I don't understand this. How does Taysom Hill get the bag of money from Sean Payton, and then when Jameis goes down, Taysom Hill still does not see the field as the starting QB? I want someone to actually justify this one, because to me, this is one of the most absurd things I've ever come across. There is no chance that Trevor Siemian should still be starting games for the Saints. If Taysom Hill is cleared from concussion protocol, there is no justifiable reason Taysom Hill should not be starting if he got the money in the offseason. Someone has to explain this one to me. If Taysom Hill was favored to win the starting job over Jameis to begin the year, loses out to Jameis, Jameis goes down, how is Taysom Hill not the backup and the presumed starter, and Trevor Siemian instead takes over the role? Unless something went horribly wrong and Sean Payton effed up royally, which I said this many times, that Taysom Hill is not a starting level QB. I've said this multiple times. You guys know this from looking at the past episodes. But Sean Payton was the guy who kept saying we were all idiots and that we didn't understand the true potential of Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill not being the starter kind of validates everything we've been banging on Sean Payton about. So I don't want to hear it. Like, to me, like, someone has to put the hard question to Sean Payton. How the hell is Taysom Hill not starting if he was in the quarterback competition for Jameis to begin the year? This is very simple. And you know my stance on Jalen Hurts. Too inconsistent throwing the ball to be relevant. Decent. He's going up against a good defense. I don't like this spot for Jalen Hurts and his inaccuracy. This line's only 42. Crossing this game off. Just crossing it off. Like, you can play the defense. You can play both defenses in this game and just to get different and go from there. But I just don't have interest. I don't care about the Miles Sanders being back in the mix. Fantasy-wise, Philly wasn't running the ball anyway. You know, no Alvin Kamara. Like, this game's a mess. People are going to play Mark Ingram. Okay. Like, great. There's no ceiling there. This game's a mess. Let's go. San Francisco at Jacksonville. Another straightforward game. San Fran, 6.5-point favorites. I'm betting the 49ers here. We know Jacksonville's terrible. Jeff Wilson gets the nod at the running back spot due to injury. Loading up on Jeff Wilson. I'm just going for it. Take Jeff Wilson. Take San Fran D. Don't get cute. And we move on. To me, yes. Could you play Kittle? Could you play Deebo Samuel? Yeah, but those guys are priced up on both sides. And even as a pivot, I don't think they get enough volume to make it worthwhile as a pivot. To me, this is one of those where it's just like the other games are strong enough of a play that you don't need to do it. And to me, Jeff Wilson's 5,100. You can play 49ers defense as a stack to go with him. I don't see Jacksonville scoring. And I can see Jacksonville turning the ball over because Urban is still going to do some wonky play calling here and there to put his team in a bad spot. So to me, I like San Fran's defense. I love Jeff Wilson in this spot against a Jacksonville defense that can give up yardage on the ground. Just like I said, I'm trying to keep this as straightforward as possible because to me, it's not worth it when you've got a team that gives up 360 yards per game. Give me the opposing running back if we're going up against a team that's going to give up that many yardage on the ground. Because they can throw the ball. San Fran can throw the ball, but it makes far more sense just to pound the rock and wait for Jacksonville to fold. Washington going to Carolina. Cam is reunited with Panthers fans, people. Here's the problem. Cam still doesn't know this new playbook, apparently. So PJ Walker is still likely to be starting most of the snaps of this game. Panthers favored by 3. This game's another ugly one. 43 total. I don't see Washington scoring. Taylor Heinicke has been what we thought he was. Not a very good QB. Still no Fitzmagic. I don't want any part of this game. We can play Christian McCaffrey because Christian McCaffrey's 8,900, not getting any attention. You can play Christian McCaffrey this week, folks, and not get any exposure from the mainstream media. Let's go. This is a spot where you can play Christian McCaffrey and we get a little bit different. We get a little bit different by playing some Christian McCaffrey. I'm not prioritizing him, but I think you can get him in builds and it's not that hard. So, if you use the budget guys correctly. So there are ways to get to Christian McCaffrey in DFS this week and it's not the craziest thing. And you can play Panthers defense. So it's like another variation of the 49ers play with Jeff Wilson. I think he's going to get a ton of volume because they can't throw the ball either. So there you go. Cincy, as we get to the 4 o'clock game, Cincy at the Raiders. Cincy's slight favorite, like a point favorite. I don't know what to make of the Raiders because this line's at 50. I think Cincy's the better team, but man, I hate their coach. I think Zach Taylor is a terrible head coach. Point blank, the Cincy team should be better. I say this about the Chargers too. The Chargers should be better. These teams keep getting passes while having excellent QBs in their second year, and they're still not putting up the juice that they should. Cincy should be better than where they are. They're better than the Raiders. They should win this one easily. I will parlay this with playing Cincy and the Chargers together and kind of move on from there. I don't necessarily think it's the craziest thing in the world. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I'll play some Joe Mixon. I'll play some Joe Burrow and stack it with Ja'Marr Chase. But I'm not going to go too crazy with this one because since he, again, has been inconsistent and they don't really seem to have a complete idea of what they want to do offensively, and that's part of the problem. They have the talent, but they don't really seem to know how to maximize it game to game, and they just kind of do a lot of individual plays. I don't see a whole lot of overall cogent thought process in terms of their philosophy, which is part of the reason why I get on Zach Taylor, because he was supposed to be the offensive guru, and I feel like a lot of the times the Bengals just do individual outplays rather than the scheme actually working itself out to create advantages for the offense. So, as I said, this seems to be a lot more player-driven than anything else. But no interest in anything from the Raiders side, which is why I'm not as gung-ho about this game, but I'll have some Cincy pieces, but maybe a sprinkle or two of Darren Waller, maybe some Hunter Renfrow, but I'm not going to go crazy over this one. Just being perfectly honest with you folks, you know, in full transparency, you know, so sometimes there are games where you can try to do something a bit different, but I don't think you need to go too crazy with roster construction on this slate. You know, you don't need to go there, and that's where I would kind of stress. I mean, just in terms of what you get from the Raiders, it's just they just don't bring anything to the table, in my opinion. So I'm not as sold on it. We get the other matchup before we get into our main event of the day. You got Seattle hosting Arizona. No Kyler Murray again, most likely. It's almost a guarantee Kyler Murray's not playing. DeAndre Hopkins has already been ruled out, so it's another Colt McCoy game. Russell Wilson didn't look good last week. I'm just not on this game. To me, this seems like a trap spot in terms of let's try to make something work. And to me, there's no point in trying to make it work. So I'm not going to force, it to me, like, this is just one of those games where you need to kind of exercise some caution in terms of trying to force something that isn't there. We don't really see anything in Seattle's offense that resembles anything that looks like it's on track. They were rough last week in Russell's return. But they were rough before he got hurt. It's just nothing there. And in Arizona, yeah, you can play James Conner. Yes, they could dump off the ball. But I know Seattle's weak against running backs, but I'm not necessarily... I don't get too caught up with James Conner games. I know he's 6,100, but to me, I don't need to force it. I just don't need to do it. From that perspective. So, not going to go crazy. So let's just get into it. Dallas, KC, you know, oh, and just in terms of the betting side, Arizona, you know, they were favored, but now the line shifted back to Seattle as it should. But I don't trust Seattle enough either to bet 3 points. It's just, it's not a good spot, so that's why I didn't even bring it up, the line, but it's just kind of a mess, to be perfectly honest. Dallas, KC, no Tyron Smith for the Cowboys. Big deal. With Tyron Smith in the lineup, the Cowboys have been an elite offense. Without Tyron Smith, they've been an average offense. They can't run the ball. They have trouble pass blocking. Now, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to push the issue, really, in my opinion, because the defense has been that bad. But Steve Spagnuolo is still going to put blitz pressure on him. So I don't necessarily like it from a Dallas run standpoint. I do think Dak can still get it done through the air with deep passes. And yes, you got CeeDee Lamb, but pricing-wise, you're looking at this matchup. You got Cedric Wilson at 3,200. You got Michael Gallup at 4,200, and they both can smash this Chiefs defense. They know how to, they've experienced enough to get themselves open in good spots. I definitely think you can easily stack Gallup and Wilson together and play KC, because you can play Kelce at 7,100 and Tyreek at 8,200 and still play Wilson and Gallup. But to me, this is what I was talking about. Don't necessarily overthink it. If you're just looking, you're not going to be that different. I can already tell you, like, you're not going to be that different from the folks who play at high volume like me. So don't think you're going to be that much different. But if you want that floor and just to be in the green on DraftKings, to me, the safest route you could go would be playing Mahomes. You can play both Kelce and Hill. There's a way to make it get it done. I've already mentioned the plays where you got a Dont'a Foreman, you got a Jeff Wilson. They're so cheap that you can make it work. And then if you play Wilson and Gallup, like, you've already got the lineup. Like, you've like, I've already said too much, but it's like, it's that straightforward this week because of this game that we can play it. Now, I know some folks are going to say, well, what about Zeke? What about Zeke? Zeke is still the second best running back on his own team. It doesn't matter, like, what you say about Zeke. Zeke literally only puts up numbers in a very specific game script. He needs to be in a spot where, you know, there's just not much going on, and he just gets it on the go. Like, he just doesn't, he doesn't have any breakaway speed. He doesn't do anything out of the ordinary that honestly gets you there. So from my perspective, you can just kind of cross off Zeke and move on. To me, you don't need to force in Zeke. It's actually a more of a negative play forcing in Zeke for no good reason, in my opinion, because there are other ways of kind of going about it, and you don't need to, you just don't need to go there. It's just that simple, to be honest with you. You know, you don't need to force it. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's as I said, it's pretty straightforward in terms of the build this week. Overall, on the main slate, and in terms of the betting, I was very much on Dallas before I got the Tyron Smith news. Now, without Tyron Smith, Chiefs only is still being, the line hadn't moved. It's still Chiefs -2.5. I was very much on the Dallas side. I thought Dallas could go in there and win outright. Now, without Tyron Smith, this kind of leans back towards the Chiefs winning this game, and we're going to get points out of this one regardless. I just like the fact that I could get different with Dallas. You know, it just doesn't look like it's the win's going to happen, but it's like, you know, we've seen the Chiefs kind of come up small in some of these spots too. So not the craziest thing in the world to still back Dallas. I just think that it's far more likely the Chiefs just take care of business now without Tyron Smith. So that's just the way I look at it. Sunday Night Football, Chargers, Steelers. Chargers, the line has moved up to 6 points. Now we're getting into territory because so many guys on the Steelers are out sick, especially on the defense. Chargers' offense has been underwhelming. I said this last week in my rant. The Chargers have been such a disappointment. They've been the biggest disappointment, in my opinion, probably even more than the Chiefs, because it's just it's laid out for them, and they're not taking advantage of it. Again, they get another gift spot. They should be able to handle this Steelers team. So we'll talk about that later tonight when I do the showdown preview. But Chargers should handle the Steelers tonight at home, and it's going to be a Steelers crowd, by the way. So if it sounds like a Steelers home game because of the cheering for "Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!" it's because the Chargers have no fans. But it's going to be a Steelers home game in terms of the crowd. Just prepping you in advance. It's in L.A., and it will be a home game for the Steelers. But we'll get into it. Of course, my Giants are on tomorrow night against Tampa. We got the whole Antonio Brown situation. I'll get into that one tomorrow. I'm not going to go fully in-depth, but needless to say, I think Tampa wins that one. But we'll break that one down a little bit further. For now, we'll wait on the Lamar news, but if Lamar's not playing, you know, like I said, we'll just have to do a pivot off of it, just because I don't love the spot without Lamar, obviously, and I think you can play the Bears defense if Lamar's not playing either, and because I think that the dollar savings actually opens up a bunch of other avenues for you in terms of roster construction. So, but you don't necessarily need it. If you play the KC Dallas game, as I kind of laid out and I kind of rattled off a bunch of names to you, you should be able to put together a very solid lineup this week. So let's get out of here. Good luck, everyone. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.